If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Matthew 1, Matthew 1, verses 18 to 24. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 24. Reading from the NIV, and its heading here is the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 24. This is what it says in the Lord's Word. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we would ask right now that you would speak to us. Dear Lord, I pray for your congregation here, and would ask, dear Lord, if anyone's heart has grown cold towards you, you would make their hearts flesh once again. They would know the warmth and life of your Spirit to go through them in your power, dear Lord, that you would speak to them and they would have a fresh revelation of you in their lives through the power of your word, dear Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, if anyone here has grown tired of your word, let excitement be in their hearts and minds and souls, dear Lord, that once again that God is speaking to them. And they would change, they would become renewed, and they would have your power. And for those, dear Lord, who are close to you, draw them ever closer in the power of your truth, so that they would know that they have met with God. I ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be amongst you here this morning. It's always a privilege to come to you as to share worship with you. It's a wonderful experience to come here, and I've said on many a time to your leadership that I think I get a bigger blessing than perhaps that you receive, but it's wonderful to be amongst you. Terry will be here this evening, and sorry he couldn't be here this morning, but his wife's on duty in the Sunday school in Griffithstown, and they provide you with their blessing and encouragement this morning. It's wonderful that we have a link between you and ourselves. Let's turn to the Lord's Word. What have you ever considered? God never repeats himself. If you look at creation, and when he formed it, something new happened every day, didn't it? And then if you look at his word, there's always something different that takes place. If you look at the life and times of Moses, when they were in the wilderness, for instance, they approached some water, it was bitter, he threw a stick in it and it became sweet. He hit some rocks with his staff and water poured forth. Then he was supposed to speak to some water, to some stones, and then water bubbled up. God never does the same thing. God always does something new, something unexpected, extraordinary. And when the Israelites seemed to have failed the world, to evangelize the world, God then knew that he had to do something different to help us within this world. Jesus, who is our priest, our bulwark, our King and Redeemer, our God, our Lord and Master, Dayst, our friend and teacher, decided that he had to do something new. He had to come into this world, split time into two, just for me and for you. So even if we feel perhaps there's no one else wants us, he desired us. He desires us. I wonder what you desire this morning. Do you desire to let him in? He came into this world in an unexpected way. A way in which that perhaps the world wouldn't consider. It was by strange effect, by a miracle. Something that was extraordinary. And the world wasn't even ready for it, even though it had been prophesied in God's very own word. It took the world by surprise, and he entered the world that he had created so that you and I might be saved. This morning, are you saved? Yeah, are you sure? Are you saved? I know I'm saved. Have you come before? No, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he in your Lord, Master, and friend? Have you accepted him in your heart? And have you been through the waters of baptism? And then have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you gone through those steps in your obedience? God always does the new thing. 2,000 years ago, he split time into two. And even though the world likes to claim its own, they've tried to change AD and BC, haven't they? But they realize they've just enhanced it for us, because what they call BCE, we can now claim as before the Christian era. And CE is now the Christian era. God started a new story for mankind. We have God who came into the world, and the only way that he could come for us was he sent his son, which we are about to celebrate, who was to be born of a virgin and then given to the world so God would experience what we experience, so that you as his people could be reconciled back to him. This is the God whom we are to worship. This is the God who loves and cares for us. This is the God who desires to be amongst us, who aches for us. If he didn't, why would he go to all this extravagance and expense? You see, his love is ready and willing. His spirit is prepared. He desires your acknowledgement, and his son intercedes on your behalf. For he understands you. He empathizes with you. But what is your desire? Is it for God? It's wonderful to hear our time of worship together with you. You're one of the few churches that I experience this with. But what is your real desire? Your real desire? Is it for God to be in your life, to walk amongst you? Do you have a passion for that? And then because of that, you have a passion for souls? God did something different, something new, unexpected, powerful and daring, even though it cost him so much. Its destination would mean there would be a separation, so a joining could take place. The separation broke the Trinity, for the separation came between God and his Son as his Son hung upon that cross to taste your death and your sin. This death, which we allowed to come into this world because of our disobedience, meant that a joining could take place. And that allows those who would believe on him and call upon his name so that they may be saved. This day, are you saved or are you separated? Are you joined or are you still apart? And have you called upon him? God did something new, something different, so that we could be saved and have a new hope, a new future. When have you done something different with God? Have you ever thought about bringing a present to Christ on his birthday? something precious, something that has such great wealth. And I wonder if you know what that is. You. To bring, allow Christ to unwrap you on Christmas Day. To say, look at my child. They brought me something precious this morning. Something of great worth. This world would like to tell you you're not of great worth, but you are so, so precious. So wonderful. What have you given him this last year? What are you preparing to give him this Christmas time? Joseph swallowed his pride and married Jesus' mother so God could have a family. Have you pride in your heart so there's no room in your inn for the king? Perhaps you've got presents already for those whom you love. You've written your cards and sent them even to those perhaps you don't like. Perhaps you've invited those whom you love to your home to celebrate Christmas. Perhaps you even might even be going out this year to celebrate this Christmas time. But you see, Christ is the reason for the season. And have you invited the guest of honor, the one who made it possible for you to be here? Have you left him out in the cold because he is forgotten? You see, he hasn't forgotten you. Now, I know some people don't like change. And they've been sold a strange tale that our God is the same yesterday as he is today and is forever. While that is true, he is it by nature a God of change, for he is a creator God. And this means this world, this universe in which he created, changes all the time. And because of this, it means his creation is full of life and change, which means you. If you don't believe me, we are born, aren't we? We are children. We go to school. For those of us who were perhaps at this stage at one time, we then become the dreaded teenager. We then leave school. We then get a job. We enter adulthood, kicking and screaming. We then get married. You could say kicking and screaming there as well. We then have children of our own, don't we? And then all the things that our parents tell us, we understand what they were talking about. We then grow older. And then we get to a particular age when bits starts to fall off, don't they? We become grey. We then grow old and we die. What's missing from that list? The most important thing. We're supposed to meet Christ on that journey of change so that we would be born again. And start a new life. Just as Mary and Joseph started a new life together. Have you been struggling on your own? Or have you forgotten to meet with the one who's supposed to join your life? So that you will always be never on your own. The world in which we live changes all the time, doesn't it? Society changes around us. God created change. And it's a God who revels in change because it brings new life. I wonder if you embrace change. It's hard for us to do so, isn't it, sometimes? I pray that your relationship, your friendship, your discipleship in Christ, I pray that that has changed since you first came to know him, that it's grown deeper, it's grown greater in purpose, it's grown greater in understanding. And because he is so close to you, you can hear his whisper in your ear. And because of that, when you speak to him, things change around you. You see, our God understands our predicament and knew that something has to be done. So he decided to do something new. To the Greeks all that time ago, it was unthinkable. How could a deity become flesh? To the Jews, their God was too big to come into an unclean body. And that, especially that of a human. They expected a conquering king. Hadn't the prophets told them that? Yet he came as a baby, just as we do, as a baby, helpless, naked, and exposed. Our saving God was prepared to do the unthinkable, to shrink down from eternity into a mother's womb, to be encased in flesh, so that we could have the opportunity to know eternity with him, to be saved, to be purchased back and established, and have a relationship with the living, redeeming God, our bulwark, our Prince of Peace, our Holy One, the one and only King of Kings. This is whom we are to worship, the one who was prepared to do all for us, the one person I'm sure that if you take the time to get to know, you will discover that he cares for you, that he has a plan for you, that he has a destiny for you, that he has a purpose. I wonder if you feel that destiny and purpose on your life here this morning. You know how awesome, I know I've talked to you about this before, how awesome that you really are, for you are the chosen of God. You are his sons and daughters, that you have a purpose on your life that's great and awesome. Perhaps the world would like to shrink that life down, but you are great and you are awesome. What if you feel that here this morning? I wonder what Joseph must have felt when he thought, oh dear, I've got a pregnant wife and we haven't even had union yet. And that change that made in his life and his family. And an angel spoke to him and said, I want you to bring up my son as your son. You know, how awesome your life is, because you are the chosen of God in this world today, and what he desires to do with you and through you and because of you, and the change that you should make upon this world. It isn't about time that we stop this world changing us, and rather we started to change it with the power of our God. Perhaps, though, you're like so many at this time, you're so wrapped up in Christmas wrapping paper, which is your own life, that you're missing out on the very life that Christ has for you. Is it that Christ perhaps doesn't feature in your life? Yet he was born for you, that he took your punishment, and he keeps you alive. He gives you every breath and every heartbeat, for they belong to him. But is it that you have no time for him this Christmas? On this Christmas day, will you be unwrapping him, or will it be something else will be so much important for you? Is it you're so perhaps so busy this with Christmassy things that Christ is not even acknowledged in your life? And if he was, he'd only get in the way. Yet he was born for times such as this. He was born not in the best of circumstances, with a love which is deep, which is targeted and aimed straight at your hearts. What love is inside your heart this day? Is it for the Lord, or is it just for yourself? You know, with Christ's love in our hearts, he changes our lives. He turns them around. What perhaps we thought was so important at one time becomes unimportant. We then see what should be important. And he sorts our lives out and makes them the right way around. Is your life upside down at this moment? Have you got the pressure of this time of year which is rolling towards you like a huge boulder? And you can't seem to dodge it. But if with Christ coming into your life, he can just move you to the one side and say, don't worry about that. I'll deal with that. For I desire you with me. So you don't have to feel the pressure of this world. Do you have a tree to decorate? The trimmings to put up? Are you counting the cards that you have received? Has your home been transformed into a winter wonderland, but the centerpiece is missing? Is Christ absent? You know, the season isn't for M&S or Debenhams, as the TVs would like to tell us. Christ was born for you so that you might be saved. You see, it's all about him. We as a church need to worship our King of Kings, the mighty God, the everlasting King, the Prince of Peace, your friend and helper, your keeper and redeemer, your healer, the one who brings joy into your life through the power of his Spirit that indwells this world. The God who was born in a stable, who lived and was crucified and was resurrected, now sits in the throne room of God and is interceding on your behalf here this morning. He's there in heaven who desires to speak to his Father on your behalf. Or is it that you're a stranger and he can't quite understand your voice? Because you're not close enough. Do you have a desire in your heart here this morning that you wish to be fulfilled, but are missing because you're not close to him who loves you? Do you have a desire that you perhaps don't have the faith to take to him and say, Lord Jesus, would you do this for me? I need this resolved in my life, whether it's healing or a blessing or a relationship to be resolved. But do you have that relationship which is close enough so that he can say, Father, help me with this for these people? Do you have that close relationship with him? Because he desires it with you and he desires to respond to you. For it says in his word, ask and it will be given to you. Perhaps, though, it's more that you as a person, as an individual, feel that you're more important than God himself. Because you're so wrapped up in this world that you have no room or time to spend with the King of Kings. He came so that you might be saved and have life eternal. What is your response here to Christ this morning? Is it that you are prepared to do something new this Christmas, something daring, provocative, something which is totally out of your character, so that those around you will wonder? Perhaps they feel that perhaps you've lost your mind. But you're going to celebrate Christmas with Christ. You're going to experience a Christmas with him rather than without him. You're going to offer him a present, which is your life. And perhaps you've already offered him that present, but perhaps you feel that that's become a bit tarnished. So you're going to rededicate your life. Perhaps your love has wandered away from him and to the things of this world. And you say, Lord, I'm going to wrap my love up to you so that you could receive it this Christmas afresh and new. So that he could crash into your life and then provide you with all the gifts that you need in your life to support and help you and encourage you, that you might recognize your destiny and purpose and become the power and grace that this world needs to receive because of your presence. Because you are the Christ that only anybody will ever see. But are you prepared to receive that gift from him, because you're prepared to give a gift to him? Are you prepared to put the King of Kings first this Christmas and for the year to come, so you'll put your own selfish desires to one side, that the Prince of Peace would be before you, that you would not go through this Christmas in turmoil, but with peace, for Christ is at his center. This new year that rather than it would bring dread and trepidation, but rather would be exciting. Because who knows what God is going to do with you. For you have grasped his hand and he is providing you with gifts so that you would become so awesome in this world for next year. That you would see a change to this area, to this church, to all those who are around you. That you would be an agent of change, for you worship a God who's with you. You see, God is waiting for you to take this world. He's waiting for you to celebrate Christmas with him, that this new year you would be his child and you would change this world with him, because he has chosen you. And he desires you to be under his Christmas tree this year. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people here this morning. And ask, dear Lord, that you would bless them with greatness. You would bless them with riches. You would bless them with encouragement. That you would bless them, dear Lord, with faith. You would bless them with love. You would bless them with patience. You would bless them, dear Lord, with strength and courage. That, dear Lord, that they would not be a timid people, but a strong people. You would bless them with the capability of being able to come to you. That, dear Lord, that they would offer themselves. And that, dear Lord, because of that, you would provide them with the desires of their hearts. Dear Lord, be with this church this Christmas time and for the year to come. And that they would be an awesome people full of light and love. And people would say, what an extraordinary people, what an extraordinary place. For they dare to do the great things for God. And that they know that God inhabits this place and this people. Spend a few moments of quiet now with the Lord and allow him to bless you in the way that your heart desires. Spend a few moments of quiet with him.